Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:48 Central African time. Having a lovely, beautiful morning with you, and you. The torrential rain's been there, and alhamdulillah, but someone that also adds value to broadcast is our very own. He's a councillor in the Itikwin municipality. He's also a humanitarian, a very astute businessman, and someone that we resonate positively with on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Perhaps I will be sharing some thoughts with Ahmad Paraf when it comes to kafan dafan before we get to the politics and the nitty-gritty of what's happening around during this flooding season. Ahmad Paraf, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and tell me how you're doing this fine rainy morning in Durban.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all of our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a rainy Sunday from yesterday, Shafar, and the damage this has caused, Allah knows best. Now we have to go back to the drawing board to assist the community again, once again, because there's a lot of devastation on the ground that we're having a meeting this morning to see how best we can assist the community at large at the moment, Shafat.
You know, Ahmad, I like the way you said it. You know, it's back to square one. You say going back to the drawing board. And, you know, it was really torrential. I mean, some of the footages that we saw, Amshloti and all these places, I mean, they've been hit. Like someone told me this, it's worse than before. How true is that, Ahmad?
They're 100% right in what they're saying, Shafat. It's actually this rain that has come in the last day and a half now, or 2 days you can call it. It is really, really bad and has caused in new areas, you know, some of the places we know it is already, you can't repair till a long time. But in this case here, new areas in Belito and in the North Coast at the moment, it is really, really, really bad. You know, I went to bed about 12:30 this morning, and I was mobilizing all over the country, with especially my good friends in Joburg, and to assist me to get some blankets, to get some mattresses, especially water. In fact, they have already told me today they will start loading a super link for me to come here on Monday, because water is going to be the biggest issue that we're going to be faced here in KZN. Because you know what, the systems of the water is completely out of order. And to get it up and running, you know, we only sugarcoating, and the council and the government is only sugarcoating and saying, you know what, you're getting water, you're going to get your electricity. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a long drawn issue. As you know, part of Prospecton from the 12th of April, now we just over a month, it's gone to almost 6 weeks. It will be the workers are on short time. There's no work, no pay. There's no way they can get the power in the next 2-3 weeks. We're waiting for spares, transformers coming from Germany, all over the world to make sure the system works. And you know what? As I said earlier on, it's where we have to go back to the drawing board and start assisting the people on the ground. In fact, I've got an urgent meeting this morning at to mobilize and put a task team and I put a system together where we'll be able to assist the people. And that's the only thing we can do now, Shafat. There's nothing else. You know, it's left to Allah. Allah knows best where what is happening. And in fact, we are not the only one. We must make dua that, you know what, this whatever floods and all we got is minor compared to the other part of the world. How they are suffering and what we're going through. We're making a big sing-song about it. When there's no food for a couple of days, for a couple of weeks, and yeah, they're getting everything, Shabbat. That is what we can say. We can't do anything more than that, Shabbat.
Good point there, Ahmad. And, you know, thinking aloud here, you know, we'll be looking at areas that are being hit, and lots of buildings are collapsing, you know, in Amshloti. I mean, the sandbanks and, you know, on cliffs, they're actually going down the banks and so forth. Was it maybe bad planning, bad town planning, too much of buildings, and, you know, a lot of greenery being taken away, the importance of having greenery, the importance of keeping your banks, full of greenery and not allowing buildings
buildings to take place. But you notice that every spot where the people get, they're building and building. So, you know, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said it. He said, the worst of money spent is money that is spent on sand and stones. And perhaps now you can see why, or the hikmah behind it. If you spend too much on sand and stones, you can be disappointed too. Ahmad, your thoughts?
Shabbat, you're 100% right in that, what you just posed to me. But you must understand, the government have already put in place in the last 3 to 4 years. There's an act in our council and in the legislation, DMOS. DMOS means that you can't use, if you got a property of 1,000 square meters, you might be able to only use 25 to 30% of that. The rest is DMOS, meaning that the greenery, the trees and everything must stay as is. You know, this is it. You know, you got MAFA for the buildings where you can't change it. You can build around it, but you can't change the look of that building because it is in a heritage. It's a similar thing that we have put in place for DMOS. DMOS meaning that you can't build in that property. In some cases, we give you full DMOS. You bought the land not realizing that you can't put anything there, but the land is 100% DMOS. So people have got, I got one person bought a 3,800 and something square meters in Toti. He didn't realize, and that the guy gave him at a very, very good deal, but not realizing that full land is DMOS. He can't do anything with it at the moment. So this is, you know, there is too many buildings going next to one another. That is also causing a problem. It put pressure on the soil as well. You know, I'm talking from my experience in the Dafan Kafan, when we bury, when heavy rain comes, what happens to the soil? And you know, previously, and I said this on radio as well, in some cases where the decomposition takes place of the body, we couldn't get our decomposition quickly. Normally, within 2-3 months, the body is decomposed. In some cases, it takes a year and a half because the salt content from the soil has gone. So this is the other problem that we are faced with, Shafa. You can see every year the sea is rising by about 1.5 meters. These are all signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have put in place for us. And you know, we're not taking heed of these things, you know. And I spoke about this thing when I was 3 months in council. And I said that especially water, electricity and all that, our systems are completely doomed. Do something about it. You know, people took me for granted. And a lot of people came back and said, you know what? That brother spoke from 41st from the member. He was 100% right. We didn't do anything about it, Shabbat.
Yeah, Ahmad, you know, you talk about this torrential rain and incessant rain coming through. And I'm wondering, you know, it makes it very difficult for the grave diggers, and especially during these times. A burial is maybe sometimes a very difficult thing, Ahmad. Talk to us about it when the soil is wet and how dangerous. You know, people say, hey, don't stand on the side of the grave. It'll collapse. And then you see the whole wall falling through and all. Describe that for us, Ahmad.
But depending on which cemetery it is, if you take some of our cemeteries where they've got clay in it and you've got shale in it, then we don't have that much of a problem. But if you take, like, especially our Brook Street and some of the other cemeteries where the soil is soft, then you have a problem because every time you're going, we normally got to dig 6 feet, and every time you went 3 feet and the walls are keep collapsing. So sometimes you'll find a mayat is like delayed for about half an hour, maybe 45 minutes. And when it comes there, we make sure we put it down quick as possible before the, and keep the people away from all the other covers, agending that cover which we dug up. And then put that body quick as possible, so because the wall will collapse. And in some cases you have dug the grave already. By the time you brought the janaza there, you have already got about a quarter meter of water there. Now we have to pull that water out. Then what you have to do, put some sawdust there to soak that water out and then put the body down. So these are the things, the challenges that we have when it's raining and all that. But alhamdulillah, with all said and done, it's Allah's work. Somehow the other, that brother or sister is being buried on time. Somehow they, we maybe run half an hour, maybe 45 minutes late. There was one mayat now in on the just after the floods, Spingo Beach. You had no access. The helicopter brought it down from Spingo Beach, from the Spingo Beach school,
to Virginia Airport, and from Virginia Airport, the hearse took it to Dial Road Cemetery. And you know, the job gets done. Allah's work, Allah's fun, somehow or the other, He finds a way, and we do it, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, brilliant indeed, Ahmed. And as you said, you make a plan and it's all been done. And, you know, many are talking about these floods. And, you know, as you said, some areas still didn't get the connection. So it seems as if, you know, disaster management is stretched to the fullest and people have come to the fore again. So it means, Ahmed, that once again, the people, it's going to be people's power that's going to keep, you know, people hopeful. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Shabbat, if anyone is thinking that the state or the government or the municipality is going to help them in the near future, in the next month or so, then living in a real coma, I think, you know, it's not going to happen. The issue is, first and foremost, there is no money. Secondly, the United Nations has given us some money. We don't know where that money has gone. The national government has promised us 1 billion rand. That money has not, we haven't even seen that thing into the coffers of the council. So these are issues. Now you can't, all whatever we think, you need infrastructure, you need the pumps to be sorted, the roads to be sorted out, the banks are falling apart, you need to put curbings, you need to put retainers to hold the hand back and everything. All that costs money. Nobody is going to supply the council or any institute when there's, you know, where you're supposed to be paying the creditor supposed to be paid in 30 days. He's not getting paid in 30 days. He's getting 90, 120. And these are small guys that we buy our materials from for the council and all that. So that is an issue that we are faced with. So therefore, we are making very, very clear to the council that, you know, all these small guys need to be paid because they are small. You know, they're employing 10 people, 12 people, and they're making hollow blocks. They're making paving. They're doing a lot of components for the council, and they don't get paid in time. That is the problem that we are also facing. But inshallah, that is coming to an end because we are putting a lot of pressure. Things are starting to look better. You know, if you see the rating agencies and all that have taken us from the black. So that is, things are looking better. Your rand will start performing a little bit better as of tomorrow also, because once they take you out of the black and put you, you're no more in the red, you're in the black now. So it will make it much, much easier for us to trade as well. But the long and the short is, all these things are compounding on the government to start giving service delivery. And you cannot give service delivery if there is no capital to do that. If you don't have the material, you can't make the garment. It's the same thing here. You need the equipment, you need the material to fix things up there, and you need the money behind you, you need the capital behind you. And things on it will start looking better because people out there are seeing that the country is taking another dimension. And after the 2024 election, this country, you will see it will go to another 25, 26, 27. You'll see there will be a huge upturn in this country. Investment will be much better here because new caliber of people are coming into the political field, and they are starting to see, you know what, they don't want this country to go down the tube. They're making sure that whoever they put in place, the ANC government is going to lose a big chunk of their support. They're lucky if they can get 50%. So if that happens, and then you've got a coalition government, and that is going to make a big difference to our country, Shafan.
Yes, sir, just gone 8:06 Central African time, and alhamdulillah, in conversation with our very own councillor, Ahmed Farouk, on his segment, Straight Talk, and Ahmed always giving us a straight talk. And Ahmed, you look at the South African Weather Service, and they are projecting this bleak weather forecast for some time. Do you think it will clear up today, Ahmed, or later on tomorrow? Or is this going to be something that's going to bother us? And then, you know, we're going to have once again, all over again, power cuts, and the water will give up. And this, or was the repairs done properly so that, you know, we got some confidence that, inshallah, that we'll be saved, Ahmed? What's your thoughts on that?
Shabbat, in the next few days, the weather forecast is moving towards now, towards the north. So in Pangani, Richards Bay, Zululand, all that side is going to be affected. But for now, It's still coming down by the bucket loads at the moment. So, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, when it comes to weather, wind, rain, storm, thunder, all the things is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we'll only know when it moves away from our shores, from KZN, and it goes towards the north, and then we'll know where we are at the moment. It is coming down, and from the news, while the news was on, I was looking at all the other areas and all that. It is really, really, really bad. And in fact, one of the things that I picked up was, you know, in the last 14 years, the government was sorting out Eskom. Now, in 14 years, they spent like $230 billion only fixing Eskom problem. And they forgot about the lights. You're fixing up one entity, and you're not giving service delivery for electricity. Now, this is the problem that we are facing. You know, you're working with people who don't understand how the system works, how we have to deliver, how you have to maintain, what you have to do. They don't have a bigger picture what's going to happen in the next 5 years. This is the problem that we're looking at all the time. You know, they're talking about quick fix. In the end, this quick fix is actually costing us more money.
No, absolutely. You're spot on there. You say quick fix, and you know, penny wise, pound foolish. And also, you know, it was surprising to see so much of water coming into Amgeni Road, lots of water in the Durban beachfront. And, you know, one would have thought, you know, these areas are a bit safe areas. But how come, is it more to do with the drainage? Or what was the reason for Amgeni Road and Durban beachfront, or some areas of the beachfront are flooding, Ahmad?
You know, Shafar, if you take one road, take Dyker Road, from one end of Dyker Road, from the outer circuit road, or from there, and you take whole of Dyker Road, and you know how many drains you get there. Now, these drains have not even been serviced for the maybe last 8 to 10 years. It is all clogged. There is no way the water is going to go anywhere. Whatever the water is supposed to have went into this drain, into the main pipes, and it goes into sewer and all the other areas, it will go into the rivers and all that. That is all blocked. There is no way. So what happens, that water is on the surface of the road now. That's why you find all your roads are cracking. And, you know, in tar, especially when you're driving and all that, whenever you have any tar is cracking, and when the rain comes, you'll see that pothole now, you'll find it was a small hole. After these big, heavy rains we got, you'll find that you'll have a very huge pothole, and that water is filled. And you know, when you're driving, you don't even see there's a pothole. You damage your tires, your mags are gone. Tooth mags of yours are gone. That's what happened. So the service, have previously they used to come and clean all these drains out. They used to put a guy downstairs. They used to put the heavy pressure hose. They used to clean all these things. All the sand and muck used to come out. Now there is absolutely, they haven't done nothing yet. Over the years, the sand, dust, and everything filled this thing up and clogged it up, and that's the reason that you can't this the road. And furthermore, with this rains, you'll find all our pipes and everything that supplies the normal clean water to the residents and everything else, they have hairline cracks on those pipes. Those pipes are broken now. So you got double trouble. In other words, you got the rainwater, and these pipes have burst also. So that's where our big problem is at the moment. We're fixing pipes. We fix 1 kilometer, 2 kilometers down the line, we're opening up again and putting another piece of pipe, just joining and going. Instead of fixing the whole of Dyker Road, cleaning the drains, putting new pipes, and getting it done. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm talking from experience. In Musgrave, in the corner of Musgrave and St. Thomas Road, the pipe burst there, Shafar, about 2 months ago. That pipe must be about less than half a meter. That it had a hairline crack in it. We put a new pipe there, and we opened it to supply the whole Musgrave and the surrounding area. We got 6 valves there. When we opened the 6 valves, less than a day, 3 kilometers down the line, we had to open up again. What happened? The pipe was burst there because it had a hairline crack there. So we patched it again. instead of putting the whole of St. Thomas Road and putting new pipes and getting it done, this is what we are doing. It's costing us money. And you know what? We are giving outside contractors. Shafat, listen to this very, very quickly, and all our listeners must listen. That pipe burst at 7:30 in the morning. I was called up. I had a look at it. I made sure that all the valves were closed so we don't lose water. So one contractor, they start at 6 in the morning till 2 o'clock. One contractor came there. He checked it up. He just dug for about half a meter. He said he needs the TLB. So he waited for the TLB from the time he came at 7:30 to 2 o'clock. TLB didn't come. His work was finished. He packed up and he was gone. The guy from 2 to 6 came. He had a look at it. He's waiting for the TLB. He couldn't do anything. He stood there. You know, when the contract is given, they come there, they park off there. There's four boys and one supervisor sitting on the pavement and waiting. 6 o'clock came, Shafat. That guy is gone. The next shift came. The next shift came. That starts from 6 to 2. That guy came. He waited. At 11:30 in the night, the TLB came. By the time he could finish, we finished that pipe. One small half, less than half a meter pipe to fix. It took three shifts of people, and each one want to get paid their Shabbat. The first two did absolutely nothing. They want to get paid. The last guy only did the work. And you know what? So this is the way how the government works. So you know what? I brought it up in the council meeting. I said, you know, the system is all maggots. We need to put our own in-house plumbers with our own vehicles where we'll be able to manage and supervise and get our work done. That's the way we're supposed to be doing, Shabbat. Look at the logistic, the time constraint, the money that we spend on a less than a half a meter pipe to fix. Three full teams. We're supposed to be doing the work. Nothing got done.
Yeah, full marks for you for being descriptive. And as you said, it has to be an in-house thing because I believe the outdoor contractors, too, they have contacts within. And that's why they take advantage and they know they will get repeat jobs. But Ahmed, I'm looking at a message from my brother Faisal. He says, Assalamu alaikum, my brother Shafaat Ahmed Parak. I really enjoy the segment, State Talk, and it gives me food for thought. But Ahmed, I want to know, we were warned against this severe weather condition by the South African Weather Service, and they sent out a level 10 warning. But Ahmed, in my area, which was hit over and over again, I never saw anyone from the municipality, neither did I see the disaster management coming through. It was severe rain, it was severe weather, and those settlements that are around in my area, they started flooding again. I was wondering at night how the poor children, how those people were living. And once again, Ahmed, we will have to go do the rest for them. Please inform and have the municipality taking note of this, especially Sishle Sikalala. Hey, how do you respond to Faisal there, Ahmed?
Shafat, firstly, the premier of KZN with our mayor, there was an emergency meeting call on Wednesday regarding the weather forecast for this coming weekend. They put an army together. The disaster management team was put together. But because we are stretched with manpower, we can't service everyone. That is the biggest problem. So the brother is right there. Nobody came there. You might find nobody coming to his area or anything because we are stretched at the moment. We are very thin in terms of manpower. And if you look at the infrastructure and the vehicles and everything is gone, some of them are like, you know, supposed to go to the scrap metal now. That's how bad it is. And you'll find, you know, we in South Africa, we had the second best fire department in the country. Today, if you come and rate us, we might be over 200 plus. And furthermore, half of these vehicles don't even work. That's how bad it is. I had a look at it myself. I went and did an inspection at some of these fire departments in Durban and Durban and surrounding. I had a look at it, and I know how this the facility is when they talk to you, you say, there's nothing we can do. You know what? In some cases, the vehicles are actually catching rust. They're putting water there and the water is leaking out. So, you know, these are problems that we are faced on a daily basis. We're patching and going there. You know, we're coming to an SS standstill now.
They're looking at a message from Sikandar, and he says, Assalamu alaikum, Shafa'at, Jazakallah khair for a powerful program, and salams to Mufti AK Hussein and the entire team. We're not forgetting the astute counselor, Ahmad Farak. Absolutely. He says, Ahmad, the danger to life due to fast flowing streams here, also in our area, widespread displacement of affected communities and the widespread of mudslides and rockfalls and soil erosion, and the widespread of damage to property, buildings, and loss of livelihoods and livestock. We have lost so much, Ahmad, that we are on the verge of bankruptcy, and it seems as if government is not taking note of us. Please, Ahmad, come and visit us in the Midlands and give us some hope. Ahmad, Sikandar calling out to you. Your thoughts.
Sikandar, you know, I really pity you. But, you know, the problem that, you know, is not only that we face in the city of Itigweni. The whole country is facing the same thing. And the only thing we can do is, if I'm around, inshallah, Allah, give me the strength to come your side somewhere. Maybe I can come out there. Send me your Shafari's got my number as well. Send me your information. And then, you know, I'm also go quite often to Newcastle, assisting them there on that side and everything else. Maybe if you're coming your way, I can stop by and see maybe whatever I can help you and how to even claim from the government for the damages that you have lost. There is a fund, there's a disaster fund put in place. And if you're not going to make an application for that before somebody else takes it, I think you need to go that route and give us your plan, give us some paperwork. Maybe my office can help you. I've got a full-time PA, maybe able to help you and do some soul searching and do some application, and you can maybe get some money out of the government and get your life in order, Vish.
Yeah, Jazakallah for that, Ahmad. But Midlands and all those areas, do they fall under Itigweni?
No, they don't fall under Itigweni. But, you know, with my party, Action SA, I'm the provincial operations director. So the whole case falls under my wing. So I assist all over, anywhere in the province, right up to Majuba. So that all falls under third in command in KZN with Action SA Shafa'at.
Bless you, Ahmad. Our man walks the talk, Ahmad Farak, people. And well, another message coming through here, and it's Afzal. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Chef, keep it up. Ahmad and you make a top team. Yeah, Ahmad is a team, my man. He says, South Africa's tallest existing flag is the size of a tennis court, and cost Ahmad Farak, it cost them 200,000 rands a year to maintain. So much of wastage. So recently, they wanted to make another big flag, but that was given a figure of couple 22 million. But now, Ahmad, we want to know, who are these people making such stupid decisions? And it's time to get rid of these people who have wasted so much of taxpayers' money at the expense of the Garib. Please, Ahmad, it seems like we got a lot of chores around. How do you respond to Afzal there, Ahmad?
That came from Natin Tretwa. Natin Tretwa is with sports and recreations and everything else. He's in charge of that department in national government. It came through and it went before parliament, and that thing was shut down. 22 million just to put a flag for, you know, it's not on when the people in the country are suffering from everything else. Why go and spend this type of money? And that 2 million spending on annually just to maintain. This is all, you know what? I can't understand why they're spending money on things they do not have to spend on. Spend on money where the people give them housing, give them water, give them electricity. What is needed? Sort the roads out. You know, people can't come out from some areas where their roads are completely washed away. The last one in Maran Hill, the bridge and the road is completely down, completely. There's nothing left there. Shafa'at, we have to only, up till today, we're only giving them food and assistance via helicopter. And you don't need that. You start, you know, we learned our lesson after the last flood. start thinking, putting something together quick as possible, get our people back on to work. 36,000 people out of work from the 12th or the 12th of April. What do we do about it? You know, your unemployment rate will come to about over 50% just now. And some areas, some industries do not have light. Bring Plan B into it. Or hire big generators from the government. Go on a JV with the client. Tell them, you know what? It is going to take us 5 months. This is what we can offer you now. These are big generators. We can get your company up and going. You pay us 50%. We pay 50% towards that. Oh, we will write off X amount in the rates and tax. Do something. You know, find a plan B for the people, and the people can be employed. This is where they're not listening to us.
Ahmed, looking at Qasim here, he says, Assalamu alaikum. And Ahmed, Parak, government urges those that are living in low-lying areas to move as extreme rains will hit them, and it's still hitting them now. And badly, I'm looking out from my window. There are informal settlements, Ahmed, and the people are standing on the roadside. No one's doing anything. It seems like we have to take our bakis there again and help them. Where is the army? Where is the government? Where is the child? Where is the shelter? Ahmed, how do you respond to Qasim? He says it seems as if they have to go there with their own bakis and help the people again, Ahmed.
Shafak, the National Disaster Management Team with the army, everything was assembled last night from Moses Mabhida. So everything is put into place. And as I said, we come back to square one. There is no manpower. We can't service when there's 150 places at once, everybody needs us. We can't be at 150 places once. So, you know, they're giving priority all. There is people on the ground giving them the information which one is affected. Guys like Qasim phones and say, you know what, these people are in a bad situation. So they go on a queuing system. You know, that's all we can do. There's not much. And that's why we're asking community to assist. That's the only way. Because, as I said from the very beginning, if you're depending on the state government and the municipality, you're not going to get anything. We need to get up there, roll your pants up, go there and assist the poor community. And that's it. You know, don't worry about the color, creed, race, religion, and assist the community. This is what is important at the moment.
You know, Ahmed, I've been thinking aloud. If we all put the JoJo's, we would have had overflowing water. Maybe we'd have hundreds and thousands of liters already captured. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Yes, in fact, that's what we've been doing, especially in Tongat and all that. We were linking those gutters into cleaning, making sure the people clean the gutters and then put it into JoJo's. And in fact, it's helping at the moment. And some boreholes, we've been assisting them with boreholes. So all these things are coming to place. But the thing is, you know, how much can you do? You know, our community just came out from Ramzan. They had whatever funding they have already pre-planned. You know, they got institution that we from 2020, 2021, what we had to give in 2022 and all. They got a whole list of people that we have to assist. And then this disaster from the 12th of April, the disaster kit. So our community is also stretched. And, you know, after the looting of the July last year, we're still recovering from there. You know, a lot of our Muslim businesses were completely taken out. So these are the problems that we are faced with. We can only give so much. But with all said and done, Shafa, 65% of what happened from the 12th of April disaster is the Muslim community came to the forefront to assist the government and to give the NGOs, the Give of the Givers, Darul Ihsan, Jamatul Ulama, all these people. In fact, the people that came on the forefront is the Muslim community. And that they have already seen that if it wasn't for us, these people should have been even worse off.
Ahmed, I'm looking at a message here. Tawfiq says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmed, I'm just not trying my luck here, but I want to state the facts. It was during this flooding that I used two of my buckies to help a lot of people and even pull out cars from the water. But now both my buckies are troubling. Can I claim from the municipality for assistance? Ahmed, how do you respond to Tawfiq? He reckon he's not pushing his luck, but what can he do, Ahmed?
But that one day, Shafat, I think he started up a chance day. There's no way he's going to win. That was a big one, that day, Shafat. I don't think there's anything he can do there. He must write it, peace be upon Allah, and make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it more for the service and for the service rendered to the community. That's all. Allah will give him. In fact, he'll get his baki fixed up quick as possible and do more good. Allah will give you more.
Yeah, I like the way you said it, Ahmad. And I mean, the point to make is the municipality got so many vehicles, so many trucks that they can't fix themselves. Maybe they can give Tawfiq one from there, Ahmad.
That is a big, tall order to get anything out from the council. By the time you start putting the paperwork, 2024 will come way too, you won't get the vehicle.
Okay, Ahmad, you've embraced everything. You know, I like your spirit. You know, you're doing it with wholeheartedly. And jazakallah for all the advice that you're giving us. And jazakallah to the listeners for, you know, having that confidence in you and calling upon you. And, you know, you give them hope. And I really embrace you and celebrate you for that. Ahmad, the time is running out. Perhaps your parting words this morning?
Shafat, we must make dua, Allah make it easy for all the community out there, and you know what is happening at the moment. We make dua, whatever little we can help the community, in fact, we must help them and do our best from, and show them that, you know what, the Muslim community is united and is always assisting the community at large. JazakAllah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to all of you that sent in messages, a big jazakallah khair to you and you. And alhamdulillah, you have, you noticed that Ahmad Parak, he doesn't shy away from answering you, and he gives you, you know, what's really happening on the ground. And he won't tell you, oh yeah, you know, we should have done this or shouldn't have done that. They are stretched to capacity, people. They are like an elastic band. It's, you know, it's been pulled. I hope it doesn't snap, people. I hope it doesn't snap. But I hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, we have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tie your camels and be careful. And if someone needs help, you be there. And inshallah, Allah will reward us for being selfless. Don't be selfish. Be selfless. And to all of you that have done great work, Allah bless you all. And if you can do it, keep on doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perhaps these are reasons or these conditions Allah has given us is a way of inshallah giving us more sawab and so forth.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.